Well, long overdue, I would say. There's been a long gap between my last podcast, purely because of overwhelming work pressures and just trying to do too much and not having enough time to do it. I'm learning. I feel like I'm no different from any other four-wheel drive adventure travel enthusiast, in that I am also learning, and I'm also looking for good advice when deciding on certain products, certain ways of doing things, certain new ideas, new technology, etc. I am in the fortunate position to be able to make contact with some people in the know, and I have done exactly that with regard to my newest acquisition, which is lithium batteries. And you know, there's a lot of scare mongering out there about lithium. Oh, you know, when they catch fire, that was at one stage the case. You know, when a lithium battery catches fire, well, that's it. It creates its own oxygen in the burning process, and therefore, no matter how much water you put on it, you will lose your vehicle. And if in a situation where you are in extremely remote areas, that could be life threatening. So, But now things are quite different, and it's very obvious to me that as technology improves, as technology progresses, lithium batteries are now safe. Well, let's put it this way. The good ones are. The cheap ones might not be. So I decided that I would do a video on, and I am going to produce a video, and what you'll hear coming up now is a podcast of part of the video that I will produce. But I decided that I needed to find out from some people in the know that actually have been following the progress of lithium batteries, the technology behind lithium batteries, from its beginning, which I haven't. I've had a cursory look now and again, nothing much more than that. But now I'm really involved because I have them in my new Australia Hero Tourer build. They're not permanently installed yet. I've got a temporary installation, but I'm using them, testing them, playing with them, wiring up things, and getting things to work from lithium batteries. They're now being charged in my car, and I'm watching them, and I'm playing them with them, and I'm having fun with them. So I decided, okay, let's take on the first challenge. And the first challenge being, lithium batteries have battery management systems built into them. Now, the reason for this is that they need to be controlled, because if they go out of control, they can, in fact, burst, catch fire, etc., etc. So the battery management system simply put, and some are quite complex, some are very simple, depending on what you pay for the battery. But what they basically do is that they stop a battery discharging too fast. In other words, if you accidentally short-circuited a lead-acid battery, the battery would eventually burst. But it wouldn't actually catch fire because there's nothing particularly flammable inside a lead-acid battery. But it would cause a horrible mess. But, of course, the short circuit, if it was a fully charged battery, the short circuit itself could cause a fire because of the wiring, cabling that was short, causing the short circuit, catching fire, and that would be the fire. The fire wouldn't be the battery, the fire would be the short circuit causing a fire. With lithium, both can happen. If you short circuit a lithium battery, the battery itself can catch fire. So the battery management system switches off the battery if you over discharge it. Now, for example, a typical 100 ampere hour battery that is now asked to deliver 200 amps or 300 amps, and at a short circuit would be far higher than that. It would literally turn it off, itself off, and stop the fire. So actually, if you think about it, they're safer than lead acid batteries. But are they? So, because the other side of the coin is they also have minimum voltage cutoff, which means that if you discharge the battery and drain the battery to a point where the battery is, in inverted commas, flat, With a lead acid battery, deep cycle, AGM, you name it, that kind of battery technology, the battery will continue to give out whatever energy it is stored in it until it's a paperweight. Lithium battery doesn't do that because when it gets to a certain percentage of remaining current, the battery management system turns itself off. So now you've got a situation where you've got a battery that has turned itself off. In other words, it is also a paperweight. There's no voltage. It's off. And what that actually means is that when you start the engine and the alternator picks up, you've got a charging system wants to, and then you've got a, so for example, I'm going to work DC to DC with lithium. They require DC to DC for proper charging. It's actually very important. We'll get back to that later in part of the, you know, it's an interesting thing that some people are advertising, oh, just put them in your engine bay. And actually, well, yes, you can do that, but it's a really seriously dumb idea. It'll work. Sure, it'll work. Why would you want to do a... Anyway, we'll get back to that. That's an interesting part of this. But, okay, let's say now the battery's flat and I turn on my engine and the DC to DC charger gets activated by the alternator, but because there's no battery attached to it, and what I mean by that, no battery attached to it, what I mean by that is the battery that is attached to it, because it's turned itself off, it's no longer a battery, it's open circuit, it doesn't exist. As far as the charger is concerned, the battery isn't there. If it doesn't see a battery, it doesn't turn on the charging circuits. It needs a battery for it to be able to say, oh, there's a battery, I will now try and charge you. But if there's no battery there, it just stays switched off. So what do? You've now got a lithium battery in your vehicle that you've accidentally left run flat. And, well, what do? Well, this the solution is quite simple. This isn't a difficult problem. And what I did is I went and discharged the battery in the back of my vehicle. I left the fridge on, I left all the lights on, and suddenly everything turned off. The fridge turned off, and then very soon after that, the lights turned off. Not even the tiniest little LED glow thing for the USB charger was on. It was off. Everything was off. The battery had turned itself off. It didn't exist. It was zero. So I put a multimeter over it, and I saw that it was producing 0.8 volts. Now, a lead-acid battery that is really flat, I mean seriously flat, 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 completely flat, is still open circuit, is still going to register 5, 6, 7 volts. Okay, even if it's in its flattest, most useless state, still going to show some voltage. This was 0.8 of a volt. And I thought, well, it's either 0.8 of a volt coming from the battery, or there's some current leak somewhere else in the system, maybe from the DC to DC. I couldn't really make up my mind. I didn't actually, and probably I should have at the time, disconnected the battery and then measured its voltage. But for all... let's put it this way. This was a simulated, I'm in the bush, I've made a mistake, my battery is now flat, I'm starting the engine. So in this particular case, the red arc DC to DC, the 50 amp charger, turned itself on. It shouldn't have, because the specifications in the red arc book says that it requires 4 volts. Which is a seriously dead battery, as I've already explained. But with the lithium, it wasn't 4 volts. It was 0.8, as I said. So it was way, way below. And yet, the red arc saw it and turned itself on. So my question is, was that residual current somewhere? Was it the DC to DC charger was working a lot better than the specification said it should? Or was there another factor? The fact remains, when the battery turns itself off, there is a reasonable chance, because you might not have the red arc, you might have the EnerDrive, or you might have the Victron, or you might have, there are a lot of good DC to DC chargers on the market, and maybe they will behave slightly differently. The point is, you need to understand lithium batteries, and if you understand lithium batteries, then they're safe to use. If you don't understand lithium batteries and you just go by what some advertisers who will say anything to get you to buy their lithium batteries, it's actually a bit shameful, then you could be in a, you could be in a bit of a situation where you're buying into this new technology and you're out in the bush somewhere and you go, oh crikey, I don't know what to do. I don't. But if you understand, then you will know what to do. That's kind of where I'm coming from with the interview that I did. Now, what I, after this little test, I then called my mate Heiner Klarman from Klarman Auto in Perth. They do auto electrical work, and I've dealt with them before. And Klarman is Heiner is a whiz. I consider him an expert because he's one of these guys that has been immersed in this technology for a very, very, very long time. So he can tell you the history, he can tell you what has happened. You know what I mean? He's this kind of really, really valuable asset when it comes to talking about things auto electrical. And he's not just a sparky, he's an engineer. So he has that in-depth insight. So I went to him and I said, okay, let's pretend, and this is going to be a video that is going to be released soon. Let's pretend I'm an AGM customer. And I didn't really pretend to be an AGM customer because I do understand the benefits of lithium over AGM. And so, but we did kind of muck about a bit, but we came across, I learned a lot from the interview right there and then about what makes a cheap lithium battery a bad idea and what makes, for example, why would you put it in an engine bay? Why is that not a good idea? You know, and things like this. So I hope you enjoy it. Hello, everybody. This is Heiner Klarman. You might know him from a couple of my videos. Whenever I'm doing something electrical, I bring in Heiner because you're the boffin. So I'm now going to pretend I'm coming into your shop at Perth Pro.
Yeah.
It's also mentioned in one of my videos. And I'm going to be an annoying customer wanting to stick to old technology and buy a good old AGM battery. Okay, let's talk about price.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is cheaper than that.
It is.
By how much? Now, maybe we should say,
yeah,
this is a middle of the range. We know it's good quality. It's not cheap rubbish.
No. This is actually a very good AGM battery. This is a very good Century AGM battery, a real quality product.
Okay.
That will cost about $410 in the shop.
So this is a, also if you look at the big price differences with lithium batteries.
Yeah.
So it's kind of in the middle, isn't it?
This here is, quality-wise, a really good battery from Mtron, which is a manufacturer here in town in Perth. So these are brilliant. I've had the guys taking them apart for me. Quality-wise, this is a very good battery, but it comes at a very small price tag because these guys work off big quantities, really.
I want to avoid this turning into a sales pitch for Mtron.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got them in my car.
Yeah.
They've offered to give me some. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm now going to get some first-hand world experience. And I've heard lots of good things.
Yeah.
I've heard enough good things for me to say, yeah, it's worth that, you know. But if I look at the price, what's the difference between a really cheap lithium and a really expensive lithium if this is sitting in the middle?
Okay, a really cheap lithium battery usually consists out of a lot of tiny smartphone batteries, pretty much. So you can imagine in the battery itself, because for lithium batteries, this is just a housing that could be pretty much any size and any shape.
Yes.
So in the cheap batteries, you've got a long bus bar where your little batteries are pretty much spot welded to, and then a cheap battery management system, and it's quite cheap to manufacture them like that. You can imagine a long bus bar with a lot of spot welded batteries on corrugations. It's not going to do
very well. So potentially the reliability could be questionable.
Absolutely.
Because there are so many solders.
Okay. That's one of the big parts.
Okay.
Another one is that when you test these batteries, these cheap batteries, and you really test the capacity of them, a lot of times they don't really check out for what they promise they are. So if you buy a 120 amp hour lithium battery, a lot of the really cheap ones have been tested to only be 90 amp hour batteries in reality.
Which is quite a common trait with electrical stuff coming out of some countries which produce very cheap stuff, and so not necessarily good value, just cheaper.
Yeah.
So you're saying, okay, fair enough. Let's go to the most expensive ones. Because this is what $900?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay, so I've seen them on the market for quite a lot more than that.
Yeah.
$1,200 plus.
Yeah.
What's the difference between that? Where should people spend their money? That's really what I'm trying to get at.
Okay. The big differences are A, the battery management system on the inside, and B, how the battery itself, the electric storage part, is actually built. So one way, like we said, is the bus bar with a lot of tiny batteries all linked together. The better quality batteries are built with prismatic cells, where one cell consists out of a 100 amp hour battery at 3.6 volts, because all lithium batteries are built as 3.6 volt, 3.6 volt, and on and so forth. So
there'll be three of them in series, and then those in parallel.
Four in series,
and the rest in parallel.
No, there's nothing in parallel. It's just the four of them being in series.
Right.
And since every single one of those cells has got 100 amp hours capacity,
right,
you will then get a 12, 13 volt battery with 100 amp hour capacity in it. Right. And these little cells are explosion proof as well. So should something happen to one of these cells,
okay,
the prismatic cell is what keeps the battery safe.
Oh, okay.
That is a big difference to all your little spot welded batteries. If something happens on the inside, internal short because the battery breaks down, there might still be a fire in that battery.
Even with the battery. Now, while you were gone,
yeah,
I explained the principle of a battery management system. So you're saying there could even be that, even with the battery management system.
It could be, because the battery management system takes care of what's coming out here.
Yes.
What happens internally is a different story. The battery management system can't take care of what happens if a cell gets a short internally.
So even with the batteries that are built like this, is there still a fire danger?
With the ones that have got the...
Okay.
Want to start that again?
No, carry on.
With the ones that have the prismatic cells in there, there is a mechanical barrier. There is like a little explosion-proof tank built in there where the cells are in.
Right.
So that means there's your fireproof.
Do you know I hate your doorbell? You do know that, don't you?
I thought you were from England.
No, I really... What's that got to do with it? It's terrible. Okay. Now that you have to do again. So they've got a fireproof cell. So if there's a disturbance, a damage that is potentially volatile, it's contained in the battery.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
So that prismatic cell acts like a canister, a tank, like an explosion-proof tank.
Okay.
Where the chemical batteries, the bit that is actually storing the energy, is contained inside of that.
Okay.
The only way to disturb that is actually be in an accident where you shred your battery and you go through that mechanical barrier and crack that as well. But that is very unlikely that that will happen.
Okay, so the fear that some people have with the new technology that it's all gonna burst into flames is not really valid anymore with the new technology.
That's right.
Would you agree with me with that?
I agree, as long as you make sure you get a lithium battery that has got prismatic cells in it.
Okay.
Not one that has that spot welded.
How would I know as a buyer of lithium batteries what I'm buying?
Read through all the details and see if it is advertised as having prismatic cells. If it's not saying that it's got prismatic cells, usually doesn't.
It probably doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a way to find out. All right. But okay, let's... Yeah, it's all very well. So what, really? I couldn't care less. All I want is a good source of power in my van or my four-wheel drive. What's wrong with this? I mean, it's half the price.
That's right.
Yeah, the weight, I get the weight.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference.
It is. Usually the next question I ask, the setup that you're building.
Yes.
For how long are you planning to keep your setup?
So, okay, let's take an average. 3 to 4 days camping and one spot before.
No, I mean like the vehicle that you're building. Are you planning to keep that for a few years? Or do you think I'll have it for 2 years and then I'm going to sell it?
That's a good question. Oh, well, in my case, I actually don't keep my vehicles for very long. But that's not everybody's case. So make your point.
My point is, if you say, I'm going to build this thing and I'm going to be traveling with it for the next 10 years, I'd say, well, in the next 10 years, you will at least replace this battery once. While with this battery, you might not replace it at all if you treat it all right.
Okay, we'll get to that point, if you treat it all right, because both of them, if you abuse them, they don't last.
That's right.
Or they last a shorter amount of time. So, but you still haven't convinced me to buy a lithium battery, because I'm still getting, I mean, this is even more, this is a 100 amp per hour battery, and this is 105, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, that's so, right. So another point here is, with your 105 amp hour battery, yes, it has got 105 amp hours, but about 40 to 50% of that energy is stored below 10.5 volts. 10.5 volts being the voltage where your fridge goes, that's it, I'm not working anymore. Yeah. So for running a fridge, this means you don't really have a 105 amp hour battery, you only got about a 60 amp hour battery. While with the lithium battery, you can use, and I've tested that myself with these batteries, 100% of your energy out of it before the voltage drops so far that your fridge is not going to work anymore. So this is a true 100 amp hour battery where you can use full 100 amp hours, while this battery is only really a 60 amp hour battery. Yeah, the rest of the energy is still in there, but you cannot tap into it.
I mean, I am already a convert just because of that, because... Yeah. You know, when you turn on your headlamps and then you turn on something else in the car which draws high lamps, the headlamps, you will always notice the headlamps will change very slightly. That's voltage drop.
That's right, yeah.
Flooded lead acid batteries have a, by comparison, far higher voltage drop as the current flows, the voltage drops.
That's right.
Which is not the case with this, am I right? I mean...
Yeah, that is correct.
So I can run a fridge and lights and turn on my compressor, and this thing is still going to be delivering 13 volts or more consistently.
Yeah, it might go down to 12.8 somewhere. We found that when you also turn on inverters, but the voltage will stay steady, steady, steady until you discharged about 90% of the energy, and then it will start to drop, and it will drop rather quickly, and then it will be the end.
Whereas this drops rather slowly from a between 50 and 60% discharged.
Yeah, it's sort of, it's more like a constant linear voltage drop while you're taking the charge out, which means as soon as the voltage drops, everything will take more current to run as well at the same power. If you know electricity a bit more, then that makes sense, because you have to have the same power for things, means the voltage drops, the current has to go up to deliver the same amount of power.
Okay. All right, so we've sold, we're sold. I am sold, but there are some things that I believe that because of the new technology, there are things that people actually need to know, because they have some quirks.
Yeah.
Okay, I mentioned them earlier before, that if you had a short circuit, an overcurrent, it shuts itself off to protect itself.
That's right, yeah.
It also has something that shuts itself off if you undercurrent. In other words, if you draw all its power, it will get to the point where it'll turn itself off.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, the challenge is this, and I've just done a little test, and I was quite surprised at the results. The challenge is that a lithium battery, when it gets down to a certain level, low voltage, it will turn itself off, and therefore, the DC to DC charger won't see it. So when you start your engine, the DC to DC doesn't know that you've connected a battery to it, because the battery's turned itself off.
Yeah. It is pretty much like the DC-DC charger is just floating mid-air and has got nothing connected
to connect it to it, because it cannot see it.
That's
nothing
exactly
connected.
Right.
So I did an experiment. I discharged my battery in this because I'm learning. I want to find out what was going on.
Yeah.
So I discharged it until everything, not even the tiniest LED, was on. And I measured the voltage across it. And it was 0.4 of a volt, which means it wasn't... There was either current coming back through the system, through the charger, or it hadn't completely turned itself off. There was a residual current there, very, 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 voltage there, very, very small, but it was there.
It might have just been superficial charge that was still left in the DC-DC charger or something like that.
Well, I turned on the engine, and the Red Arc 50 amp, which are configured to, you can configure them. Can you configure them all to lithium or just the 50 amp?
No, all of them.
All of them,
them will work on lithium as
well. It's wired to lithium, I turned it on, all the little lights came on, and within, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, fridge turned on, lights turned on, everything came back.
Yeah.
Drove for half an hour, measured the battery, 13.4 volts over the battery. Yeah. So in other words, that experiment, I was kind of wishing that it wouldn't, so yeah. I would have to come up with a plan to kick it back into life.
Yeah.
I didn't need it. But the point is that I probably should have.
Yeah, there is something that we do sometimes.
What should they do?
The trick is, if you want to make sure, if you really want to make sure that your battery will always come back to life, no matter what DC-DC charger you're using, is you will either have a jump start pack with you, or you can even use a 9-volt block battery, or you make up a little device that will connect power from your start battery back to the positive terminal of your battery. Just something to kick the DC-DC charger back in. A very simple way of doing that is if you have a jump start pack with you, like one of those little lithium jump start packs that a lot of people have, make sure that your engine runs, so your DC-DC charger is ready to start charging.
It's on and looking for something to charge.
That's right. And then put the jump start pack onto your battery.
Yes.
And that will give the DC-DC charger just enough voltage to go, there is something there again.
Let me, because the rate at which these batteries absorb current is absolutely mind-blowing.
It is, yeah, absolutely. I think even better, you can just take a 9-volt block. Even if you just take a 9-volt block and put that on there.
A little 9-volt battery.
Yeah, that'll be enough.
That would be enough, you're right.
It will not turn the battery back on, but it will turn the DC-DC charger back on. And as soon as that kicks in, there's enough voltage for the battery to turn back on. So just something like that will be enough.
I think it's important that when people buy lithiums and go to this new technology that they understand this kind of stuff.
That's right, yeah.
Because if it happens and they don't understand it, it's what the hell's going on? And it's like a freak out show. But now, what about what I use that for? For example, I'm seeing advertisements for an Australian company advertising that you can put these straight in your engine bay and charge them directly off the alternator. So my alarm bells are ringing and saying, hang on a minute, this is new technology and requires specialized charging. Are they pulling the wool over people's eyes or not? Is it actually okay to put this in the engine bay? And I know it's not good as a starter battery. We can explain that.
Some people use it as starter batteries. It's actually when you put a battery management system in there that can supply enough current, you can use them as starter batteries. And there are some battery manufacturers that will sell these as starting batteries as complete replacement for what you've got in there.
Yes.
There are a few things why somebody might think that's a good idea. I personally think it's not a good idea. A lithium battery is made to last 10 years easily. It can do 2,000 cycles at 80% depth of discharge and is usually rated that it has only lost 70% of its capacity by then.
Okay.
But you see a lot of warranty claims, like if you buy a lithium battery, you put that under a bonnet, you usually get a warranty with it where people say you get 2 years warranty on your battery. So you pay a lot of money for a really expensive battery that should, in theory, last you 10 years easily, and you get a 2-year warranty with it. The problem with that is because when you put a lithium battery under the bonnet, the lithium in there heats up and becomes very, very reactive. It becomes so reactive that it shortens the battery life very, very significantly. And out of your 10 years that you could get, you might only get 2.5. But with the disclaimer on warranty, a lot of people will get away with that. But you still don't get more battery life out than you would usually get
from that. So you're really not gaining anything.
No.
In fact, if you're going to keep your car for a long time, you're losing.
Yeah.
You might as well just use a flooded lead acid battery, starter battery, because that's what it's designed for, and it's going to last 4 or 5 years and be chucked, and it's cheap.
That's exactly right, because your normal lead acid battery will cost a quarter, maybe even less, than what your lithium battery will cost. Especially if it is a lithium battery that can be used for starting. Like a 100 amp hour lithium battery that can be used for starting an engine will cost you about $2,000. The same lead acid battery will cost you about $200. So you can buy 10 of them. So if that lasts 10 years, even if it would last 10 years under the bonnet, you can also buy 10 of the other batteries for it.
Okay. All right, that actually explains things. So it's, yeah, you can, but it's a bit of a silly idea.
It is a bad idea. There is a reason why every electric car vehicle company, they use exactly this battery technology, and they have got active cooling for their battery cells, so they don't get over 45 degrees, because past that point, the battery life reduces that drastically that they can't keep their warranty claims.
Another question. Charging these batteries.
Yeah.
Do you need highly specialized chargers like DC to DC chargers to charge that, or can I use an ordinary alternator with some kill switches or whatever? Do I need a special charger for that?
Yes. Every battery manufacturer I've spoken to so far has told me you need a proper DC-DC charger with this battery. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing is that when the battery is fully charged and it reaches its maximum voltage and the current the battery takes in has dropped below a certain amperage, you have to stop charging that battery. Because lithium batteries cannot be trickle charged like we do with AGM batteries. AGM batteries will go onto float charge and a little bit of current keeps trickling in. The same thing will happen here. If you charge this on an AGM cycle and you keep a little bit of current trickling in, your battery is going to be damaged after 10%, 20% of its expected life cycle.
Which is another reason why putting them in an engine bay and putting them as a start battery is another reason.
That's exactly right. Because you will keep on trickle charging them, and they hate that. When they're full, they need to be completely turned off. And then when the next cycle starts, you've discharged the battery, another charge cycle starts, then you finish that cycle and the battery is being turned off again. That is how you have to treat these batteries to get their full lifespan. Obviously, you can put them under a bonnet, but all of this goes towards a shorter lifespan of the battery. And that is something you really have to think about if you want to do that, because you pay a lot of money for a battery that is supposed to last over 10 years.
But if you treat it badly, as you were saying,
it won't.
Just plain won't.
That's right.
Okay.
So
that's interesting.
There's the trade-off with lithium under the bonnet.
All right. I've run out of reasons to buy an AGM.
If you want to hear another reason why you should buy this.
Please.
If you run an inverter, there's something called a Peukert factor, which is a mathematical factor by which amp hour, so capacity of the battery, is reduced when you take a high current out of the battery. So for a battery like this, if you take 100 amp current draw out of this, which you would do with a 2000 watt inverter, for example, you lose about 25% of the capacity because the battery cannot keep up with demand. The chemical process is not fast enough in it. While with this, you only lose about 5% on a big current draw. So if you want to run inverters, your 100 amp hour battery that is really only a 60 amp hour battery is being reduced by another 25% when you draw high currents out of it. Well, this is only being, which is already a real 100 amp hour battery, is only reduced by 5%. So it's another good reason. If you run inverters, you want to run lithium batteries.
Okay, I've got no more arguments. No more arguments. But the biggest argument is still this. I mean, that is just, it is just, it's ridiculous.
It
it's actually ridiculous.
It feels like it's empty. It's like a joke almost.
I remember once somebody threw a battery at me, okay, long before these were invented,
yeah.
And they actually said, "Catch, Andrew," and he threw a lead acid battery at me, and I went to brace myself, and it was just a dummy, so
yeah.
It weighed ounces.
Yeah.
This is slightly heavier than that.
But it almost feels like it.
It is amazing. It actually feels almost empty. All right, guys, I hope that's helped you understand. I am, like I said before, I'm learning like everybody else. I'm trying to understand this new technology, and that's thanks for that. That's helped me a lot, actually.
No worries.
Yeah. And I'm sure in the long term, I'm putting two of these in my Land Cruiser, so I'll have 200 amp. Now, here's another thing we should probably mention. I'm going to have two of them. I'm going to wire them in parallel.
Yeah.
Why not a 200 amp hour battery? Because I've not got two
100 amps as opposed to one 100 amps is because the maximum output of this battery is 100 amp per hour. Therefore, if I tie them in parallel, I get 200 amp per hour.
Not amp per hour, just amps.
Sorry, amps.
So the maximum current this can deliver is 100 amps continuously?
Yes.
Or 200 amps for less than 5 seconds?
Which means I can run my nice big inverter.
That's right. So if you get two of them,
yes,
and you put them in parallel, you make the maximum of 100 amps continuous.
Yes.
You make that a maximum of 200 amp continuous.
Whereas
you
if can... I only had one, I wouldn't be able to run a 2,000 watt inverter.
No, that's right, because 2,000 watt inverter, if it's maxed out, usually draws about 150 amp.
Yes.
So that's why you can do that. Or you can go for another, some of these batteries come with a different battery management system that is able to supply 175
amps. And they're specified on the battery.
That's right.
So it's another thing to look for when buying a lithium battery. What is the specified maximum output current?
That is also one thing where really cheap batteries will have a relatively small maximum amperage amount. Yeah.
So, for those of you thinking about buying lithium batteries, it's been a fascinating ride and it remains a fascinating ride. The catalyst for this podcast was really because I'm seeing these companies advertising their lithium batteries and they've got pictures on Facebook of this lithium battery being put into an engine bay. And part of me knew, I suppose so, but there was so much misinformation just to sell product. And as you know, this kind of thing really gets my goat. Anyway, hope you enjoyed the show. I'll try and keep up more podcasts, keep my schedule for podcasts. Stay safe, everybody. Bye for now.